Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I'm not sure what the topic du jour is today that everybody is going to rail about. I mean, it could be Ukraine. It could be a number of things. It could be Russian collusion. Let's revisit the Hillary's popular vote. It doesn't matter what we visit. It doesn't matter really what is out there that is distracting us. It is a distraction. And none of the things that are being talked about by the news is providing any clarity as to what needs to be done. It's almost like allowing yourself to be constantly engaged in things that have no merit in your life. Why even allow those things? I mean, I learned a long time ago that having toxic relationships in your life only drag you down. And that, you know, when somebody wants to be toxic, they want to be controlling, they want to be manipulative and so forth, let them go. You don't need that. We don't need the media. We don't need David Rockefeller and the elitists, progressive media, to constantly entangle us in things that have no merit in our lives. It's the primary reason why I don't like focusing about it. What I like doing is I like actually just having some commentary every once in a while to put it in perspective that how bad does it have to be, folks, before you're going to get involved? I mean, I can't see anything out there that has any path forward. It's not Trump. Trump does not have the ability to get the federal government and every tentacle of tyranny in our lives. He doesn't have the ability to get rid of that. And even if he did, even if Trump actually got rid of that, then I'm here to tell you that the next despot that gets elected will bring it right back and reinstitute that into our lives. Why? Because what Trump does is only temporary. Just like whatever every president since Andrew Jackson has been piling on and piling on government overreach. Now, Andrew Jackson's did a couple of right things, but he did a couple of bad things too. And so if you look at the trend, you're not making any sense to think that we're going in the right direction. And any organization out there that is espousing the status quo, I'm telling you, they're selling you downriver. Yeah, just keep doing these things and just listen to us and we're going to take you forward. No, don't listen to them. You have to act. Listen to your gut. Your gut's got to be telling you that this, you know, there's something rotten in America. We have to start acting. And so what we're going to be doing today is we're going to wrap up on the Constitution Week discussion of the Constitution. We have Article 6 and Article 7 to wrap up. And then I'm going to give you some marketing because I know people just love it. People love to hear about, you know, what the heck's going on and what are we going to do about it? And maybe even some, you know, mind melding or, you know, venting or maybe a little drama. Or how about some really, you know, laser focused wit on, you know, on commentary or editorializing, and so that you can go, wow, that, you know, that's such a salient point. Well, you know, we do marketing here every once in a while, but what I like to do and what I prefer doing is actually giving you the facts, giving you the fundamental documents that we build upon. And actually, it's what the framers used. These are the documents they used in creating our constitutional republic. So why not use those same things to understand what it is we've got? Because if you understand what you got, then it's a lot easier to start getting involved and or stepping in to save it, right? So we're going, like I said, we're going to get into Article 6, but probably since the next episode, I promise we'll do a little bit of news marketing, whatever you want to call it, just so everybody can, you know, hear, you know, what things that they may not be hearing. There are reasons why you're constantly being fed the same stuff, and it all has to be, it all seems to stem around Trump. The question is Trump really the good guy? Because if you look at Kavanaugh, remember how, remember the confirmation hearings a year ago? And do you remember the hate, the disdain, and, you know, the drama, you know, those women, how can you do this? Because what he's done, I mean, it's like he did something to them, and it was all just drama. But when you look at what he's been doing as a justice, I'm sorry, I don't see it. I don't see why the left was so, you know, so against him when he's not the constitutionalist that everybody thought he was. I'm here to tell you that, well, as I said last year, and as I've been saying, there isn't a constitutional lawyer out there. They all buy into the aggrandized general government's ability to do anything and everything they want to do. There's not a good one out there. There's not one that's going to say, we have no jurisdiction over this matter, and pound the table and lecture all of the other jurists that are on the Supreme Court to say, how dare us do this? This is a state issue. It needs to be remanded to the states. Let the states own this. Wow, that would be a breath of fresh air. But heck no. I mean, who gives up the real estate that they've gained, right? It's kind of like war. I mean, even if it's an inconsequential, or even if it's like we weren't even trying to get, you know, this particular piece of land or this country, but you got it. You don't give it up. Even if it just happens to fall over your fence, it's yours now. And so people, it's counterintuitive, and it is... It is not human nature to just allow things to not be taken and controlled. And when somebody takes and consumes, I mean, whenever you see a leader, because I've worked with plenty of them, that they're just trying to build and build and build, it's not like they're trying to get something done. It's like, you would think that their paycheck had something to do with how many people are working for them. I constantly see, and we call those empire builders, right? Because they're constantly trying to build this empire, because then they become more important, or at least they believe. And unfortunately, there's way too many other people that believe that too. Way too many people. As a matter of fact, the best thing in business is, how few people can I use to get this done? Because that means that we've made more profit. But instead, we think the opposite of that. Well, I need to have a whole bunch of people so I can get it done. Anyway, with that, as you know, regardless of how many people you have, we also have ReclaimingTheRepublic.org sponsoring this show, as well as Republic Review. This is the only show where we dive into the details, the founding documents, everything you need to know what it's going to take back our liberties and take back our Constitution. If we do not preserve our Constitution, then we don't deserve it. And so one of the things you can do, if you can't listen to this entire show, I beseech you, please dial 605-562-4209. Again, that's 605-562-4209. And that way you can listen to the entire show today. Now, what we're going to do in our next episode, like I said, is we're going to dive into, we're going to dive into some of the things, the need-to-know news that you haven't heard about, or some other obscure things that are going on and going, why isn't this important? And that way you can kind of go, well, wow. I mean, it seems like we're constantly being fed with the things that they want us to be focused on. You know, the old concept, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, there's sometimes where they won't air that. As a matter of fact, the next time a Mohammedan or a Muslim or an Islamist, you know, goes crazy and kills a few people, it may be talked about, but it will be marginalized and pushed into the background. And if they can get away with it, to not report it in every state and every local, you know, vicinity or vicinage, as they would say, then they'll do that just so it doesn't create it doesn't add to the pile of, oh my gosh, they're still doing this. This is terrible. Anyway, we've got a hard break. We're going to go to these two promos, and then we'll be back with a little bit more and dive into Article 6 of the Constitution. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so one of the things I didn't get a chance to bring up that I want to bring up is that we do have a sponsor. It's Red State Coffee. If you'd like to support the Reclaiming of the Republic, if you'd like to support not necessarily the show, and as a matter of fact, we're not looking to try to create a large pile of money. What we're looking for is just trying to cover our costs. One of the things I know is that when we all of a sudden become, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't know this, if you do not understand, politics costs money. Your government and your liberties cost money. Whether that's taking your time, whether that is helping other people, it takes money. It takes money to get a good person into office because the bad people are willing to spend a lot of money in getting people in there to serve them. For us to get somebody into office to serve us and to actually protect and defend the Constitution, it takes money to counter those self-serving elitists that are buying the best government they possibly can. The days of nobility, honor, and integrity within politicians has been long gone unless we are willing to spend money in getting those humble servants across the finish line. It's the same thing with what we're doing here in helping those public servants, or I should say humble public servants, getting across the finish line. We have a lot of work to do in 2020. We as an organization have to get out and reach out and convince other people to actually run to challenge the rhinos. Well, why are we just focused on the rhinos? Because they're really the problem. It's the elephant in the room that we have to talk about. We have to get rid of those who are occupying space in the party or parties that don't belong there, whether it's the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, or the Republican Party. We know the Republican Party is the big dog. Bottom line, what we have to do is we have to get challengers in, and then we have to get the money to them. We need your help. We seriously need your help. If we don't get your help, then I will probably be retiring shortly after 2020 and go back to work and do whatever I need to do to, you know, make sure I have enough sandbags, my reloader, enough black powder, and whatever I have to do just to protect ourselves in our home for what little bit left of liberties that we have. And then figure out how I'm going to try to defend my family and liberties once they try to take them completely from us. If you understand the cost, if you understand where we're going, because I don't think people understand. We're not talking about, well, it's just a change of government. It means that our money's going to change. No, this is much bigger than that. This is biblical. We're heading into, and if you understand the intent and the correlation between a global government and the New World Order and all of that, then you should have a pretty good understanding, at least an inkling, of the magnitude of what we're facing. And so don't give me money I don't need, but at least give me the money so I can do the job that we've got to get done. Because it's not going to go into my pockets. One way or the other, if I have excess money in 2020, I'm going to use it on campaigning and or advertising for a slate in the states that we're focused on. And we've got to focus on some states. We've got to focus on Wyoming. We've got to focus on South Dakota. We've got to focus on, I'd like to say Idaho, but I look at Idaho, and unfortunately, the John Birch Society is so entrenched. And you know what? I don't think it's the entire John Birch Society that's all bad, but those people that are involved in the Pacific Northwest that have dug themselves into the Idaho, Washington, maybe even the Montana area and so forth, they're hell-bent in maintaining the status quo, and they are doing everything they possibly can to eliminate any type of solution. Why is that? It's counterintuitive to try to understand why a conservative organization that claims to be the champion for the Constitution is standing by with their hands in their pockets, telling you to trust them, to listen to them, and to do what they tell you to do, just like they have been since the 50s, and say all is well if you do what. You know what? they've been doing this, like I said, since the 50s, and we're this close to falling, and they want to tell us to continue doing exactly what we've been doing? Sorry, folks. You know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results than what you're getting, then that's the definition of insanity, right? So anyway, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and get you some Red State coffee. What we ask is if you actually buy some and drink it, let us know what you think. What we want to do is we want to get you to, and honestly, we want your honest opinion. I mean, if I get enough people that comes back and says, you know, this stuff is not very good, it's not worth what we're paying for, then I'll be happy to say that, and I'll be happy to drop them as a sponsor. I'm not here to try to blindly just support somebody because they're throwing money at us. So anyway, what I want to do is dive into Article 6. Now, Article 6 starts off with the all debts clause. In other words, what they're basically coming out and telling us is that all debts contracted and engagements entered into. So what's an engagement? Well, let's look at it as a marriage, right? When you actually make promises to move forward. Engagements are those things that the Continental Congress has already started. The contract may not be dry. The treaty may not be, the ink on the treaty may not have dried, and or things may not have been galvanized or solidified. But the engagements in moving forward are still moving forward. You have to understand the interests of the Republic really didn't change much. The government changed significantly in how it functioned and its roles, responsibilities, and its overall makeup even changed. But Section 1 of the 6th article is all debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. So in other words, it's letting everybody know that, hey, you know, these things that we've already done, those things are still valid. Those things are still going to be honored, our debts and also promissories, because if you understand an engagement, it is not the full obligation. It's not like you've now till death do you part. You are working to come up to that point in an engagement. And so Section 2 of Article 6 is the Supremacy Clause. And most people read this as that the federal government is supreme in all things. It is not, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. So we're talking here, we're just laying it down. The Constitution, here you got the Constitution right here. And the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. So what's the word pursuance, right? If you understand the word pursuance, it is the things that are in an effort to accommodate, in an effort to, let's say, pursuance in accordance or in harmony, in a direct relationship, in an undertaking, in going down a path of saying all laws that are created that are based upon the Constitution, in pursuance thereof. In other words, this isn't a law that basically has the United States Constitution has no, there's nothing in pursuance of marriage within that Constitution. And so, in other words, what they're saying here is that all laws that are made that are from or a fulfillment of the Constitution, things that have to do with direct tax, things that have to do with war, things that have to do with printing money, things that they have this power to do, all these laws that they are doing are, and they go on and say, because you've got this semicolon, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. So the Constitution, and so they kind of created this family, this group of things that make this group the supreme law of the land. You've got the Constitution and the laws that are made as it's derived from the powers that are within it, as well as treaties, shall be the supreme law of the land. We'll get into the Supremacy Clause even more when we come back. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let me break this down a little bit better for you. Because this first part of the Supremacy Clause, the Constitution and the laws which they make, which the federal government makes in pursuance thereof, in other words, in the fulfillment of this Constitution, the Constitution gives the federal government powers. And so the laws that they make to fulfill those powers have to be in harmony. In other words, they can't just create any law. And so let's go to a very specific power and let's go into what they can do and what they can't do. So the laws that are made in pursuance thereof, let's go to Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repeal invasions. In other words, to execute the laws of the nations, to ensure that the states and the people are doing what the federal government has been empowered to do. So in other words, when the federal government goes out and creates the FBI, well, where is that in what is the FBI going to do? Well, they're going to execute the laws and make sure the compliance of the laws and prosecute against those people who violate the law. Well, hold it. The FBI is not the militia, because that power has been given to the federal government to use the militia to execute and to suppress and to repel. They're supposed to be using the militia, not creating a standing army. And the FBI is just one division of this huge standing army of law enforcement, congressional federal law enforcement, that has nothing to do within the Constitution. The militia is supposed to be doing that. So in other words, when they created the FBI, when they created the Department of Homeland Security, they're violating the Constitution, because they weren't given the power to create standing armies and a litany of enforcement agencies to enforce the forestry laws, to enforce the EPA, to enforce taxation. That's the militia's job, my friends. And there's a reason why the framers did this, because we actually know who those people are that are serving. It is us. They deliberately violated the Constitution moving forward and made it easier and easier and made our lives far more less engaged and capable of disengaging in the political affairs and the governance of our laws. And so therefore, when you understand laws that should be made in pursuance thereof, those laws need to be in the fulfillment or to achieve the enumerated powers, not to grant them any new powers. That portion is not a portal to granting them any new powers. And so if you understand what are the supreme laws of the land, the laws that are actually in harmony with the delegated powers and the treaties that two-thirds of the Senate has voted for and has accepted, not some agreements. The agreement with America and Iran is not constitutional. It is not constitutional until you have two-thirds of the Senate that actually vote and pass it. Obama knew he couldn't get two-thirds of the Senate to pass it, which is why he violated the Constitution. And it's unfathomable why the Senate allows these bad players, these evildoers like Obama, to bypass the Constitution. There had to be something in it for them. All treaties treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, in other words, under the two-thirds of the Senate, shall be the supreme law of the land. So all of these laws that they're doing in pursuant of the Constitution, to fulfill the constitutional powers that the federal government needs to execute, then those are to be the supreme law of the land. And if you go and read your state constitution, there's probably a line in it that says, we recognize the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. But we don't recognize all federal laws that are not in pursuance of the Constitution. You got to remember, they also have this other little thing that calls to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the District of Columbia. In other words, over Washington, D.C. So if they create laws of, you know, whatever they want to do, such as, you know, the ADA, the American Disabilities Act, that all buildings within the District of Columbia have to meet these standards, that's all that the ADA applies to, is the District of Columbia. Because where is the ADA fulfilling anything or any power within the Constitution? It's not there, my friends. It's the same thing with the Civil Rights Act. It's the same thing with all of these little things that they've been doing that they do not have the enumerated powers to do. So Section 2 also goes on and says, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby or anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. In other words, they're supposed to abide by everything as long as it's in harmony with the Constitution. If it's contrary, then they're not bound and they're not liable for, you know, for doing good or bad. They're liable when they actually are violating the Constitution, and they should be removed. Because what is good behavior? Well, good behavior is fulfilling the oath. And oh, guess what? Section 3 gets into the oath. And we're going to talk about the oath, because we're going to talk about, very specifically, the federal court's oath of office. But anyway, I just want you to understand that the Supremacy Clause, that what the federal government does, any laws that they create are not the supreme laws of the land. They have to be in harmony with the powers delegated. When it comes to declaring war and, you know, fulfilling the security of the United States from external threats, then they have a lot of power to do things, creating intelligence agencies and so forth. But they don't have the power to spy on the American people. They don't have the power to enforce laws themselves. They have the militia, which, you know, I'm telling you, people did not like that. And I am so thankful that Mason did not get the amendment to neuter the militia within the Constitution or to make it impotent. I am so glad that the militia is the foremost mechanism of enforcing the laws of the land, as well as repelling invasions, as well as suppressing rebellions. Because if you understand the, you know, who the militia is, that is such a better thing than to allow somebody that grew up in, you know, some state that's far away from yours. And they're there and they have no reservations about pulling a trigger on you, because that's their job. Hey, what were they protecting when they murdered Lavoy Finicum? What did they gain in doing that, other than to send a message that you know they're being very serious in how they're going to deal with us? It's the same thing with Ruby Ridge. If you look at the people that have killed these people, there's a good likelihood, and I'm almost probably 100% sure, almost 100% sure, that all of these good people that have been murdered by our federal government, they didn't even live in that state. They didn't even know who that guy was. They didn't care. They had a job to do. And I'm telling you, the job that they're doing is a tyrannical job. The federal government does not have the power to do those things and to create these types of enforcement agencies. What they have, whether they like it or not, is the militia. They got to use the militia, period. Okay, so let me jump into, because we're heading up to the break, into our last segment. And it says this: the senators and representatives before mentioned, and the members of the several state legislatures, and all executives and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. Now, let me highlight this part for you. Judicial officers of both the United States and of the several states shall be bound by oath or affirmation for what? To make sure that justice is being served? No. They shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. And so guess what, my friends? The federal judges that are in the system, and there's hundreds of them, they are not bound by an oath to support the Constitution. Now, I know you don't believe me, so when we come back, as we're heading into a break here, when we come back, I am going to read to you the oath of office for the jurist that sits on the federal benches. And you show me where they're obligated to support the Constitution. And we'll find out, oh, they're not. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so here is the oath for a judge or justice. And as a matter of fact, here's the lead-in, and you can find this. This is from Cornell Law School, and you can find this out on the web on a plethora of places. Each justice or judge of the United States shall take the following oath or affirmation before performing the duties of their office. And it says his office. I, blah, blah, do I, G.R. Mobley, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right. So far, as a matter of fact, everybody that serves in an office, the first thing that they take an oath to do is at a minimum to support the Constitution of the United States and to support the Constitution of their state. Unless it's federal, then they're not worried about the state constitutions, which is unfortunate. I believe that they should include their state constitution because they're still citizens, so that they should support the Constitution and their state constitution, because who wants somebody that's actually up in the federal offices violating their state constitution when they're doing things? Anyway, administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me as judge or justice under the Constitution. It doesn't say anywhere where he has to support or she has to support the Constitution. That doesn't mean that they're supporting the Constitution. That means that they are going to ensure that equal rights are given to the poor and to the rich, that they're going to be faithfully and impartially discharge and perform their duties. And in other words, whatever laws that they're dealing, that's why they can actually turn their backs on unconstitutional laws and enforce them. Because if they had to support the Constitution, then they would have to make sure that there was a measure in their job or duty to ensure that that law is in congruence or in accordance to the Constitution. And that's why judges are constantly violating the Constitution, because they have no measure of even having to understand the Constitution. They're just enforcing the laws, federal laws, not constitutional laws. Now, the most important thing that they included, and I want to tell you this, this next portion of Section 3 was unanimously, this was one of the things that every state wanted out of the Constitution. They all wanted religious tests. And so this is the part, or that clause, of the religious test clause of Section 3. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And I'm kind of thankful. I'm very thankful that this clause is in there. Why? Because today, when you listen to people asking, especially the progressives, asking jurists and so forth, well, we find that your conviction with your Catholic faith a problem. That's a religious test, my friends. Or when they ask somebody about something like abortion, and they say, well, what's your feelings on abortion? Well, that's a religious test. They're asking you what your religious conscience is regarding something that is a part of your faith and religion. That's the same thing as a religious test. We can no longer allow the progressives to actually test us and to try to highlight that that's an evil thing, that you have a faith and a religion. You have to be secular to be a public servant. Are you kidding me? I'm here to tell you that they've been using religious tests against conservatives, and they've been teaching the kids in school that it is the conservatives and the Christians that want to take away your good time. They don't want you to be out there to fulfill your sexual destiny, because that's what they're teaching kids. They're teaching kids that there are these zealots, that there's this religious dogma that people are trying to enforce upon them by having some moral code. And kids are getting smart, and they're connecting the dots and saying, you know what? My parents are pretty religious, and they're the enemy. Anybody that wants to actually have a moral code, that wants to inflict the commandments upon society, well, they're bad. They're evil. The most important part is last. And as I like to tell people, it is not a coincidence that when you took the Articles of Confederation, which there were 13 articles, and you boiled it down and created a much greater government, much larger in scale, with very specific powers, and you do that in 6 articles, then what ends up happening in the 7th is not a coincidence. Because if you read the 7th, the ratification of the conventions of 9 states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this constitution between the states so ratifying the same. In other words, if you get 9 states to ratify this Constitution and to empower it, in other words, to buy into this Constitution, then this Constitution has legal force upon those same states. And so what is happening here? If you understand, Articles 1 through 6 lays out the federal government, lays out what the roles, responsibilities, and powers are. From Article 1 of the legislature, Article 2 of the executive, Article 3 of the judiciary, Article 4 of some additional necessary powers and responsibilities of protecting and guaranteeing protection from invasion and guaranteeing that every state will be Republican in form and so forth. Article 5 is the mechanism of changing and or modifying the Constitution. And Article 6 are some finalized, hey, this Constitution is supreme, as well as, you know, all contracts and debts engaged, as well as everybody's going to have an oath and there'll be no religious test. So it's some clarifications, But Article 7 is a unique thing, and it's got Christian DNA all over it. Because if you understand that it took the good Lord to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days, according to the Bible, what did he do on the seventh? He rested and sanctified what he did. And in the seventh, it is clear that the power is rested upon the states, and it is for the states to sanctify what is being done by this Constitution. Kind of interesting coincidence, right? That it be the seventh. It's definitely a huge coincidence. And as a matter of fact, to me, this actually is just, it lends more than anything else. Article 7 lends more than anything else of the DNA and or the origins of this Constitution. That this Constitution truly was inspired by the divine hand of providence. I think that these men if you read the notes, there was no mention of, we want to do this, you make this thing look Christian. There's nothing in there like that at all. And as a matter of fact, one of the most important things that we have to add, because people say, well, where is God in this Constitution? And if you understand what they say at the very, very end, that, you know, in the year of our Lord, in other words, this thing was signed in the year of our Lord, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787. They didn't say in the year, you know, of us doing this. It was very clear that they were doing this as a service in the year of their Lord. And so you cannot tell me that the divine hand of providence, because it's not only just these few little incidents and things, every single framer attested to, and they died without recanting their assertion. They all asserted that they were inspired by the divine hand of providence. When we get to Thanksgiving, we will read George Washington's proclamation for Thanksgiving. It was the first Thanksgiving that was performed by the Constitutional Republic. And it was done at the hands and by unanimous consent as well, or I should say appeal, a unanimous appeal of Congress, that the nation put aside a day of service, not of feasting and not of eating, not of, you know, recognizing pilgrims or anything else, putting aside one day, I think it was the fourth Thursday of November, that they put aside that one day in serving the Lord, in thanking him for giving us this Constitution and giving us this nation. My friends, I put it to you to decide for yourself whether the divine hand of providence was truly involved and actually provided us this hybrid constitutional republic. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be doing some marketing in our next episode, so stay tuned.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.